Ag News.
Hi, this is Kyle Bauer with Plain Talk with the girl that's always going to be on time because she uses the National Bureau of Standards clock in Washington, D.C.
Well, I probably should, but... You know, think about how that has changed, though, with us having cell phones and, like, me having a watch on my wrist. Like,
absolutely.
I really do have the correct time all the time. You know, it used to be, it was like, oh, I haven't wound my watch.
Right.
Pocket watches and things like that. And so you really weren't sure whether or not your clocks and your watches.
Okay, that clock up there on the wall says 18 after.
Uh-huh.
And my watch says 17 and a half, and my phone says 17. So some people would say, well, that's close enough.
Yeah.
But it's like,
National Bureau of Standards. Well, it kind of used to be. I mean, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
like, it was a good excuse. It was like, oh, well, gosh, my watch was off. I'm sorry.
You know what drives me a little crazy?
What?
Is if a meeting's supposed to start at 1 o'clock, I'll just pick a time, and the chairman doesn't start at 1 o'clock, and the chairman's there. Most of us are there, maybe
like,
not all of us.
Let's start. We
and
said we were
like,
going to start.
Well, you know, there might be some others show up. Well, it's like, well, then in the future, you want me to show up at 5 after?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I showed up, everybody else in this room showed up on time, and now we're going to adjust our behavior because and how do we know they're even going to show up?
Right.
And just start on time, and before long, everybody will know that's a meeting that starts on time.
Especially irritating when you showed up 30 minutes early, so you've already been sitting there 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, okay, now you're not going to start on time.
Right. Of course, that's kind of your choice if you went 30 minutes early.
Right, but yes.
Some people have it that if you show up on time, you're late.
Mm-hmm.
And if you show up 10 minutes early, you're on time.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah. Oh, but the National Bureau of Standards clock is 1 second. It's likely to be 1 second off in 300 years.
Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah,
right
I'm not
there.
Living that
so,
long. I'm
did
bailing.
I tell you last weekend about the drunk man's clock at the distillery? I don't think I did. And I was actually trying to kind of look up so I could explain it to you correctly and make sure I understood it. So we were at the distillery, the Holiday Distillery. In Weston, Missouri, did this tour, which was really interesting, and we got to go in this giant rickhouse that holds all of these barrels of whiskey, where they age them.
Okay, that's called a rickhouse if it has the barrels of aging whiskey.
Right, called a rickhouse. And we were able, it's a bonded rickhouse, and it says it on the outside, like Internal Revenue Service bonded rickhouse. But because we were surprised, or some of our group was surprised that they even let us in.
Well, it'd be
but
hard to sneak out with a barrel.
Right, yeah, exactly. we didn't go in very far at all. But, you know, they're ricks, I guess is what they're called, but these
did you smell
wood,
the angel share?
Yes. And he talked about that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He did. In fact, when we were tasting the bourbon afterwards, they gave you the glass. And he said, for one thing, don't swirl bourbon like wine because it agitates the bourbon. So don't make it angry, Kyle.
Okay.
Anyway, he said you can kind of just roll it around in your hand and warm it up. And then he said to like put your hand over the top and let it... kind of
warm it up
in your hand, you know, kind of swim it around. Anyway, then he said smell it with one nostril and with the other nostril, and he said one nostril you'll smell the ethanol and the other one you won't.
So you
and
did
it was
that.
Different
really
like, it
I
was
have
really
never
crazy.
Ever done that.
I know. Anyway, in the rickhouse was a drunk man's clock, and what it is they use it when they are, because each one of the barrels has a hole that has to be facing up. You know what I mean? It has to be facing a certain direction when they put it on the rack.
Okay.
And so they somehow use that clock to know where to start rolling each barrel.
Oh, it's a corked hole.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and so they rotate the barrels.
And they use this clock, and that's how they figure out which way to rotate or where to start each one so that they all end up right side up.
I didn't know they rotated the barrels.
Well, just when they're putting them on the rack.
Oh.
See, when they roll them onto the rack, because they're in a big long line on the rack, there are probably 20 in a row on the rack. This place had a lot of barrels in it. But anyway, so that's as they load them onto the rack, they have to make sure that that hole is facing a certain direction, but it's going to be a different distance for each one as they roll it from the end, you know, because it'll be a longer distance for the first one down at the end. And then
do you know what
one.
The difference between bourbon and vodka is?
Well, bourbon's a darker color, and it ages longer.
It's aged.
Yeah, it's just basically the same thing.
It all starts as vodka, and the only difference between gin and vodka is they put juniper berries in the gin, and otherwise it all starts as vodka, and then how they age it in the type of barrel or the length of time or that sort of thing makes a difference in the taste of the bourbon.
Like I said yesterday, I did try it because we were there, and I thought I should try it.
Sure.
I barely sipped it.
Girl.
Still don't like it. No. Nope.
There are not a lot of women who like bourbon. Once in a while, you will stumble onto one. I mean, there's a bourbon club in Manhattan.
For women, you mean?
No.
Oh, no.
But, I mean, it has a couple hundred members in it, and I would guess there's 10 that are women.
Women. My grandma liked it.
Really?
My grandma Johnston liked it. So they drank bourbon.
I don't know. For some reason, women aren't as attracted to bourbon as men are.
Let's talk, as long as we're on the food and drink subject here. Our friends in ancient Rome. You've been to Rome.
I don't have any friends in ancient Rome.
I don't have any friends there either. They indulged in a lot of activities that we would find unseemly today, including and especially gladiators that fought to the death, you know. But they drew the line at eating butter.
Really?
To do so was considered barbaric.
Huh?
With Pliny the Elder. Do you know who Pliny the Elder
is? No, I don't.
It must be some famous Roman figure. Going so far as to call butter the choicest food among barbarian tribes.
I'll be darned.
In addition to a general disdain for drinking too much milk, Romans took issue with butter specifically because they used it for treating burns, and thus they thought of it as just like a medicinal salve.
It would be like,
not a food.
You know, like putting Vaseline on your burns.
Right.
And be like eating your Vaseline.
Yeah, exactly. The Greeks also considered the dairy product uncivilized, and butter eater was among the most cutting insults of the day. You butter eater.
You dirty butter eater.
In both cases, this can be partly explained by climate, because butter didn't keep as well in warm southern climates as it did in northern Europe, where groups such as the Celts gloried in their butter. Instead, the Greeks and Romans relied on, of course, olive oil,
right,
which served a similar purpose. It was the fat, and you know what they used to cook and fry food, and still do.
I didn't know that. You know, as I recall, though, they did serve butter nowadays in Italy, didn't they? When we were there?
Well, I don't
I was thinking there was these
remember.
Little hard biscuits that you... Maybe it was a cream cheese you put on the little hard biscuits.
I really don't remember using butter there, but it... I don't know. It felt like some of the pasta dishes that had a lot of cheese and stuff in them.
Well, there,
you know, they're not opposed to cheese, and that would be a dairy
product. No, but I understand that, like, a lot of the... You know, pizza has, in its own... Right, saved the cheese industry in the United States. I mean,
we've talked about that, actually.
We consume more and more dairy products every year, but less and less liquid milk. And mainly it's because of cheese. But like, for instance, if a good-sized pizza franchise comes out with stuffed crust that is stuffed with cheese, that is enough to move the cheese market.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big country, and all of a sudden you use a quarter of a pound more for every man, woman, and child in the United States, and that ends up being a lot of cheese. So, of course, cheese and butter are not the same thing, but they use the same part of milk, the cream.
Right.
Well.
Yeah.